This episode of Trenton Waves is brought to you by...
If you're a digital video editor, you need Edius. Edius is all about giving editors the creative freedom to create any application environment. Download a 30-day trial today at edius.net.
This Friday, January 24th, the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Princeton, UUCP's Radical Justice Task Force, is having an art reception featuring Trenton's very own A-Team artists. There'll be live music by the Funk Task Ticks, starting at 6:30, running till 8 o'clock, located at 50 Cherry Hill Road in Princeton, New Jersey. For more information, go to facebook.com/Trenton Community A-Team.
Hey, podcast, it's Frank Sasso coming at you. Listen, Trenton Waves' 50th episode is coming up. So here's what we need you to do. We need you to go and vote for your favorite episode. We'll count up the votes, rank them, and then on February 3rd of 2020, we're going to have a special guest host sitting with Christina and I, and we're going to present a special top 15 countdown of your favorite episodes, leading down to the number one favorite episode as per you, the listener. The deadline is January 28th of 2020. Go to TrentonWaves.com/top15 to cast your vote. Sasso out.
Hi, this is Daniel Lapidow, the Hebrew Hair Blacksmith, and you're listening to the Trenton Waves Podcast.
Are you ready?
It's the official, unofficial podcast of the city of Trenton, New Jersey.
Yeah.
With your host, Frank Ferocious Sasso.
Trenton still makes and the world still takes.
Hang tight, because we're going to meet the lifeblood behind the culture, food, arts, music, pork roll, punk rock, hair, books, education, talent, events, of Trenton, New Jersey. Here's Frank.
Yo, podcast, yeah, that's right. We're back with the Trenton Waves. I'm playing solo right now. Christina is, God bless her, she's at the gym right now. She is at the gym. I am not at the gym. I'm in the studio. But that's okay, because I'm with Podcastia, you guys. I'm with me. Just came off a meeting with my buddy Darren. That was a lot of fun. And then who walks in but our guest today? Mr. Brad Butler the second. That's right. Welcome, Brad.
Hey, what up? How you
not
doing?
I wasn't a really big fanfare intro. Because you know what? Because you're like so bigger than life. I can't even like, I don't even know how to describe you. Motivational speaker, positive thinker. You wear your brand on your sleeve, like literally. Everything is always B with a reflected B on your hat, on your shirt. What's up with that, man?
Man, it's just branding. I feel like, why would I put the focus on other companies who care nothing about me? And it's nothing against them. That's what you're supposed to do. It's your business, your brand, you want it out there. So I feel the same exact way about myself.
Yeah, it's not like they're paying you to advertise for them.
This is very true. Now, when they cut me a check, I will wear whatever they'd like me to wear. I don't have a problem with that.
And you know what? What's really funny is we have somebody else sitting in with us.
Absolutely.
This is highly irregular.
Honestly. For you guys, not for me.
10 o'clock. I hear a knock on the door. It's Vont Leek from Vont Leek Studios and Stay Low Podcast. What's up, bro?
What's going on, man? How are you?
How are you feeling? Happy Martin Luther King birthday.
Yes. Happy MLK Day.
How's Stay Woke going?
It's going real good, man.
I know.
Coming up, rolling up on episode 20.
Man,
you're rolling up on 50.
Yeah, I'm rolling up on 50. Yeah, we have a contest going on.
I saw you posted it yesterday. That's on 18. You're on 48. You know, we're getting going places.
Yeah, man, we're going places. We're cooking with gas now. Now, Brad, all you need is a podcast to come and join us.
That's what I've been telling him.
How do you not have a podcast?
I've been telling him.
Well,
seriously.
All right, so me and Vont work together.
Mm-hmm.
So
Vont works. What do you mean you work together?
So Vont works under the brand of Brad Butler II and Associates.
Mm-hmm.
So all the editing and all that stuff, that's Vont. That's him behind the scenes.
Really?
Working, doing that stuff. So I'm not going to create a podcast and then I'm in direct competition with somebody that I work with. He's my partner.
That's not direct competition at all.
I don't know. Like if we were going to do it, we'd have to do it together. That's what I'm saying. Like we'd have to do it together.
Yeah.
You know, that type of thing. So
that'd
be fire.
Yeah, it would be fire. It would.
And Dupont State will host it. We'll put you up on the wall here.
Yeah, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Right now, we're focused on building the brand, getting to where we need to be. We got enough trouble trying to, you know, just keep this thing going and people to, you know, get the attention that we're trying to get to.
Okay.
You know?
That's cool. Vont and I had a little texting issue yesterday. Let me tell you something. This is why I hate texting, because you can never get the tone of your voice out correctly.
Right.
You can't. It just doesn't come out. They're going to read it how they're going to read it, and that's it. People, we've lost the art of conversation. We really have.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're a motivational speaker, right?
Yes.
Okay, so
What are some of the things that you run into when you're trying to communicate? This is what you do for a living. You communicate.
Yes.
Do you run into issues like that?
Yeah, absolutely. And the biggest issue that I've probably run into is my own. The fact that I'm a motivational speaker and I speak for a living, that's what I do. Mm. And I realize my gift is speaking, but on top of that, there's life and death and the power of the tongue.
Amen.
So because I have so much energy and so emotion, so much passion, when I speak to some people, a lot of times it's like an on and off switch. Yeah. Either it's good or it's bad.
Right.
The conversation is good or it's bad. There's no in between. There's no gray area unless you are able to recognize that that's a problem and you have to adjust it.
Yeah, because I'm constantly typing like words in caps and I'm peppering in some LOLs just to make sure, you know, and it just never comes out right. I wish we can go back to like the 80s when no one had a phone, like meaning carrying around with them. I hate it.
Cordless.
I hate that.
I mean, the cord phones.
Well, a corded phone, that's fine. Even a wireless phone in my house, we had those.
Right.
And then we had extensions. But I mean, you know, if you were out, no one can get in touch with you. You come home, you have a message, you call them. If there was an emergency, somehow we were able to survive.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, we did it. But these phones today with the Facebook and all this anti-social media is keeping people apart. People call it social media. My wife calls it anti-social media. Because really, you're sitting on a couch, and then before you know it, it's like 4 hours went by.
Mm-hmm.
And you're on Facebook, and I'm like, what the heck did I just do for 4 hours?
Right, right.
You know, you've seen people's other, you know, their tweets and all sorts of junk.
Because you are, and I like you said, I know you, and I work with Frank. So, I mean, I'm like guesting right now and guest co-hosting.
Yeah,
but
right.
So,
as long as you're hosting, guesting is fine.
Right.
Does that bother you? Because you said like you run into these problems all the time, but it's your job to talk to people. Does it affect what it is that you do? Or?
Well, I can't control other people. The only thing I can control is what I do and how I do. So the biggest thing that we run into with people is that people don't self-assess and they don't look at it from the standpoint of what could I be doing better, you know, to make the conversation better, the relationship better. They never want to do that part. Right. Like, I have to learn how to have a conversation with my wife. Like, I had to learn how to talk to her in a manner that works for her.
Sure.
My wife is an introvert. I'm an extrovert. Mm. So I come in the house and I'm on 10. Hey, babe, this and that, blah, blah, blah. Or I get angry about something. It has absolutely nothing to do with her. And I'm just talking. I'm like, man, I can't believe this, da, da, da. And she takes it as, why are you so mad? Like, why are you taking this out on me? And I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm just passionate. She's like, listen, I get it. Like, you're passionate. You're B-Rad Inspires. That's what you do when you're out there, when you're on the stage. But you're in the house now, and you're talking to your wife.
Yeah, right,
don't talk to me like that. And I'm like, but I'm not even saying. She's like, it's not about that. So I had to learn, you know. And if you don't, then, okay, maybe you don't really want to be married. Or maybe you don't really want to have a strong relationship with your parents, your mother, father, sister, whatever. I get it. It's a hard pill to swallow for me to say something along those lines to somebody where it's like, how can you say, okay, even if they're wrong, I still need to do the right thing or whatever? It's like, so what?
Right.
Okay, they chose to go the wrong route. What that got to do with you?
Right.
What does that have to do with you? So you're going to assassinate your character because somebody else wants to do the wrong thing? So what does that say about you?
Right.
On MLK Day. I'm going in.
MLK Day.
I'm going in on MLK Day.
Look at him go, man. You're like on fire already.
Oh, no.
I'm saying, you see why I love this dude. Just like...
You were great on Von's show on Stay Woke.
That was a great episode.
Episode Tedes. That was a great episode.
Thank you.
Your book.
Yes.
Pain, Passion, Purpose.
Amazing book.
Brad Butler too.
Thank you.
It's not like a sequel. It's the second. Brad Butler the second.
But there will be a part two coming out soon.
I'm sure there will be. Are you going to do Brad Butler 2 part 2?
Well, the way I ended the first book was I ended it at where I made the decision to start.
Right.
To become
right.
a motivational speaker.
Right.
So naturally, when the next book comes out, it'll be me talking about the struggles of starting the company. Like, there's something that happened in the very beginning, like when I made the decision. So right after the conversation we have right within that book at the end, after that last page.
Well, the last chapter talks about the uphill battle.
It does, but I'm talking about specifically toward that was the uphill battle in my life. I'm talking about the uphill battle as far as starting a business.
Doing what you're doing. Okay, right. I got you.
And all the adversity I faced, all the, you know, the deals that went bad, the broken promises, and people that just said that they would be there and they weren't. And I started.
Wait a minute. People told you they were going to do something and then they didn't do it?
Absolutely.
That's crazy.
Absolutely.
I've never heard of such a thing.
Really?
Shut up. I'm okay.
You know, it's crazy. Before Bond and before Sierra, before they got on a part of my team and my partners, I really don't just call them like teammates. Like, they're partners. They have a role. Like, they're just as important to this brand as I am.
Yeah.
And before they came along, I had another group of individuals who were working with me, and it was a bigger team. And I realized I was doing everything.
Did you really?
I did. I had another group of people.
That's how
it works. Doing everything.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, I'm booking all the gigs. I'm sending out the contracts. I'm networking. I'm making the phone calls. I'm doing, and then getting on stage, and then I got to part the clouds and bring the thunder when I'm on stage.
Yeah.
So.
Right. Yep.
And then I got to the point where I was like, all right. Your heart is in the right place. You guys want to see me doing well, but y'all not doing nothing. Like, and it's nothing against you. I get it. This just doesn't, it's not where your heart lies. I was like, so I'm going to go where I'm celebrated, not where I'm tolerated. So that's when I hooked up. When I asked Vaughn, I said, I didn't really even want to, you know, bother him, because I was like, man, he's busy. I know he got a lot going on, but I said, let me just throw it out there. If he can, he can, he can, he can't.
Right.
And I said, yeah, Vaughn, man, listen, is this what I'm doing? He said, listen, I've been waiting for you to ask. I've been waiting. Yeah, he's like, I've been waiting for you to ask since the first day I met you. I was like, man, like, it's just crazy how God will bless you in certain ways. You just wait for it, like, when the timing's right.
Right.
And then with my manager, Sierra, you know, I threw it out there to her. The funny thing about it is I sent her a friend request on Facebook a year ago because she was doing conferences and stuff like that. And I sent her a friend request, and she was like, oh, man, you're a cool dude. This is that. We got to work together, da-da-da. She never accepted my friend request.
Until a year later. Why did she accept it now?
She didn't even know. She's like, hey, I was going back, looking at my account, whatever. She's like, oh, I saw I hadn't accepted your friend request. And then we had a conversation about doing some stuff. And I was like, oh, yeah. I was like, well, you know what? I'm thinking about, you know, rebuilding my team. I need a manager, man. Will you be interested in helping me out with PR and stuff like that? And she was like, let me think about it. Thought about it a little bit. Came back. She said, let's do it. Next thing I know, all the visions that I had, everything that I was like, hey, I want to do this, I want to do that.
Yeah.
She was then putting it on paper and giving it structure. And I was like, yo, I'm so thankful to have somebody who can take that and put it, you know, into a structured manner and put it in writing, the what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And like, all the visions that I have. And then slow me down at times. Where it's like, all right, we're doing this. And she's like, no, we're not. We cannot do that, Brad.
Right, right.
We have to rethink this. I had a whole program that I did. Like, blew it out the water. Yeah. I think it was 81 pages long.
Mm-hmm.
81-page program with 16 video modules connected to it as well. And I was like, yo, this is the program. We're going to push this. And she's like, wait a minute. Let me look at this thing first.
Right.
Because I know you. Like, just from the time I've been working with you, like, you, boom. And not only that, but I made myself vulnerable to them.
Mm-hmm.
I took a personality assessment, made sure they got the personality assessment for free so that they could take it and see what their traits were, the strengths and weaknesses.
Which one was that one?
It's the animal assessment.
Okay.
It's a DISC assessment. It's called the animal assessment.
Gotcha.
A gentleman by the name of Chris Daniels, who passed away, he created it. I sent it to them so that they could take it, so we could see our strengths and weaknesses. So I'm never going to ask Vaughn to do anything that's outside of his strengths. I'm never going to ask Sierra to do things that are outside of her strengths.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, because you can have the right people in the wrong roles.
Absolutely.
And it could be a nightmare.
Absolutely. Right?
That's very, very good. That's very smart, dude. So what's your ties now to Trenton? Because we have kind of like this rule on Trenton Waves, and we've been challenged about it, and we've been, you know, confronted about it. Like, how come we only have people on, you know, that are in Trenton? How come, you know, it's not fair to an artist who's in Ewing? Well, you're in Ewing. That's why. That's the whole thing. It's Trenton Waves is the name of the show. Man. Half the show is about Trenton. Trenton Waves, you know?
Right.
So, you know, you want to be on, then start a show in Ewing and do a show. Hey, what do you want from me?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you are not in Trenton. You don't live in Trenton. Not. However, you do have ties to Trenton.
Yes.
And you're always in Trenton doing stuff.
Am.
So, what are your ties to Trenton? How does that all work?
So, I originally started coming out to Trenton when I was attending Mercer County Community College.
Okay.
So, I was there. There was a football club that we started out there. You know, we just built a lot of friendships.
You play football?
Yeah.
I can't picture that.
Football.
Really?
Yeah.
What position?
Corner.
Really?
Yeah, I played in high school. I played at Kane University. Won a championship there at Kane.
Wow.
Played semi-pro football. Won a championship with the New Jersey Wolves. I was recruited to Team America. Played against Canada. Won a championship in the Globe Bowl.
Right.
And I actually turned down two opportunities to play overseas professionally in Brazil. Because I have my wife here.
When was this?
That was only a year ago.
Vaughn, did you know about this?
No.
I didn't tell you about that? Sorry, Vaughn.
I don't think that you turned. I don't think you told me about, like, you turning the opportunity down.
Yeah.
I know you told me, obviously, you won everything.
Yeah, yeah. I turned down the two opportunities to go out there.
Because I remember him talking about this on episode 3 of Stay Woke.
That was so
That's what I'm saying. I don't remember this episode.
I mean, I've known you over a year now too, and I don't think I knew that either.
Yeah, I think it was just one of those things that I was talking to my wife about it.
Okay.
You know, and we talked to an agent and everything. And
right. So you didn't go.
I didn't go. Yeah.
And you stayed here.
Yeah.
Well, you stayed where you're living now.
Yeah.
Which is where?
I live in Franklin Park, which is right below New Brunswick. Before, I lived in East Windsor.
Oh.
Yeah, I lived in East Windsor. I'm originally from Jersey City. I moved when I was about 8, came to East Windsor. And then from there, when I graduated from high school, I went to Mercer County Community College. And that's where I developed so many relationships with people from Trenton. And then I started coming out to Trenton.
So then after school, you came back to Trenton. Why?
Oh, I mean, I just kept coming back because I had so many friends and so many ties out here.
Just hanging.
When I would do speaking engagements and things like that, they would introduce me saying that I was from Trenton, and I'd have to correct them when I'm up there, like, oh, wait, I don't want you guys to get the wrong idea.
Right.
I don't want to take anything away from Trenton.
Sure.
And look like a fraud. No, I'm from Jersey City, and I live in East Windsor, but I am a speaker. I represent the people of Trenton as best I possibly can because it reminded me of Jersey City.
I see what you're saying.
So when I saw the hurt and the pain, and I saw, I'm driving down the streets, and I'm seeing people strung out. My mother and father were both heroin addicts.
Right.
So
you talk about that in the book.
So I see it. Now, my grandmother, she, you know, struggled with drug use and addictions. So I see those things, and I see myself. I see my family. So who am I to not want to bring my gift to that area?
You know, it's funny you bring up that animal character personality test kind of thing. Because you refer to your mom in the book as a lioness in human form.
Yeah, right?
Does she play any kind of a role?
In a way. She is...
an active role. I'm not saying like...
Oh, not as far as like making decisions for the business.
Well, like part of the team, part of the... Yeah, right.
I will consult with her.
You do?
I do consult with her about different things.
The way you go on about her in your book is amazing.
I love my mom.
Beats you up to a Rocky theme song.
Yeah, right.
I read your book, brother.
I know.
I'm just saying, I think it's very, very cool that you could just see her like that.
I think the biggest thing and why I talk about them the way that I do is because they didn't have to put themselves through that fight and that shame of getting off drugs. They could have just let it... Whatever. Like, we just going to go ahead and ride this thing out.
Yeah, run this course.
Yeah, whatever. We just going to die doing this thing, whatever. Mm-hmm. Who cares? Like, we just living the dream. But they decided we got ourselves into this mess. We're going to get ourselves out of it because we got a family.
That's
we
it.
Have a daughter and we have a son
that
we want to be there for. So whatever it takes to get ourselves out of it, that's what we're going to do. So I can, you know, I'm forever indebted to my mother and my father. Because I've seen so many other people with that sad story of my mom was strung out. I don't know where my mom is. I don't know where my dad. They died because of this. And my mom and dad beat it.
Mm-hmm.
They beat that thing and continue to beat it to this day. And I'm like, you know what? That's the driving factor. Like when I have bad days, I'm like, it is never as bad as, you know, detoxing yourself from heroin.
Right. You woke up with breath in your lungs, vertical.
Right.
You know, that's very, very cool. Now, we met a while ago.
Yeah.
But we met
like that. As many stories as he tells you.
Right.
Yeah, really.
I mean, Rob knows I got a million of them. Oh, we got a team call tonight.
The name of your company is B-Rad Inspires.
The name of the company is Brad Butler II and Associates LLC.
That's what I was going to say.
Mm-hmm.
But it came out as B-Rad Inspires. So the name of the company is what?
Brad Butler II and Associates.
So what's B-Rad Inspires?
B-Rad Inspires is just like a tag name, you know?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's just like what I go by. It's just like B-Rad Inspires. Would you say
The Rock?
Yeah, it's like Dwayne Johnson, then you got The Rock.
Gotcha.
But and you mix them, you blend them though.
I do.
Like it's Brad, B Rad, Butler. Inspired.
Oh, yeah. Like yeah, when I come out, sometimes Brad, B Rad, Butler, the second.
Yeah, right. Yeah. What up, though?
What up, though?
Hey, yo,
what up, though?
I have no. I can't make that work, man. I know, I try.
Hey, yo,
it just
up,
doesn't come out right. I think because I'm white.
Anyway. Yeah, no. You get invited to every barbecue. You my man, 100 grand, bro, for real. And the reason why I love you, man, is because there has been times where you'll tell me, hey, Brad, no, you got to do this, you got to do that. Or it's not just a whole bunch of edification. It's not just a whole bunch of, oh, yeah, you're doing your thing, this is that. There's times where you pull me to the side and say, hey, Brad, hey, make sure you do this, make sure you do that. Watch out for this, watch out for that. And I appreciate that. Like, a lot of people, they can't take constructive criticism. I'm okay with you saying what you just said sucked when you were on stage and you need to change it.
But where is it that you guys met?
Oh, that was at the...
Crystal
at Dubai.
Feliciano. Dubai. Yeah, yep, Dubai. She was doing a business networking thing.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All
right. That was when we met, right?
Yep. And then you made me do a drop on the spot.
Well, that's right. Well, you know, you said you were king of the drops.
That's
like,
yeah,
you're like one take Drake.
One take Drake. I got it.
Well, wait a second. Hang on a minute. I don't know that you got it on the first take.
I did get it on the first take.
He's not bad, Brad.
I did get it on the first take. You forgot to tell me one of the parts to say. And now it's
Wait, you're putting it on me?
Because you forgot to
Wait a second. Look, I have it on record right here.
Okay.
Hang on. We're going to check it out now and see if you're lying or not.
All right.
Hang on. You know what? You may be in luck. Wait a minute. I think I may have downloaded it. Oh, forget it.
So that means I gotta be right by default.
Yep. I'm okay then.
Yeah, right?
I just seem to remember recording it more than once. You were like, oh, I'm Bad Brad, Butler. I'm gonna get it on the first take. I'm like,
you recorded it again. Right. We did have to do it twice. Yeah. But the second time you were like, oh, you have to say this part. I was like, oh, you didn't tell me that.
Mm.
So I had to do it a second time.
Okay.
Look at his face.
Say the butler did it, but okay. I can't.
The butler did it.
He did do it. Now, because what's happening is now I'm sort of remembering
that
I think
that
I think that's true.
He's gonna look for it now.
I think I did forget to tell something. Oh, that's funny. No, but I appreciate that, bro. Yeah, a lot of people, they can't take constructive criticism, and sometimes you have to be really careful as who you can even like say something, because you don't know how they're gonna react. You know,
day and age, yeah.
Because we live in this age of like, you know, self-love. Everything's about me. And, you know, God forbid you say something that may be offensive to somebody. Mm-hmm. We're always afraid of hurting somebody's feelings. I'm like, when did we get so sensitive? What the heck happened?
I don't know.
When did everybody get to be such an idiot about stuff?
I don't know. Maybe it's the whole instant gratification thing. It's like, I want, you know, my praise right here and now. I want you to love me right now. I want you to trust me right now. Like, just because you said so. It's like, no.
I can't take
it. Anything worth having is worth fighting for.
Exactly.
So that includes respect, love, money, success, praise, whatever it is that you want. If you want it bad enough, it's worth fighting for.
Yeah.
So if you're a genuine individual, it's going to come to you. It's going to come in time. That's why I don't stress when my time is coming,
mm-hmm.
because it's going to come because I'm applying too much pressure. Mm. I'm going to apply pressure until the floodgates break.
That's it, man. That's what you got to do.
So it's what it is. I've had so many people that have told me over the last year, it's only a matter of time because you have the skill set, you got the talent, you got the energy, you have the presence. Like, that's what the kids need. That's what the people need right now. They just don't know you yet. Mm-hmm. When they know you, it's over. You're going to take off like a rocket. And I'm like, that's fine. When it comes, I'll be ready.
Just keep working it. Keep hitting it. And it has to break.
Right.
And if it's not working, you pivot it a little bit and you keep working, keep hitting it. And eventually, you're absolutely right. How old are you?
31.
You're 31. It's another thing I love about you. You're 31 years old. Most 31-year-olds, they're not talking like you. They don't get it. You know, you're willing to put in the work, put in the hours. I'm ambitiously lazy. That's what I say. I'm lazy, but I'm ambitiously lazy, which means I'll bust my butt for like 10, 15, 20 years. If I know at the end I can relax, and the money still rolls in, even more. The less work I do, the more money I make, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I'm ambitiously lazy. You know, residual income. It's all about residual income. You got residual bills, why not residual income?
Right.
So I know we talk about that kind of stuff a lot. But Vaughn, we met at a business networking meeting at Dubai. She's like the ultimate networker, that girl.
Oh, yeah, she's always networking.
Man, she's like networking in her sleep. I think she's meeting people.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let me ask you a question, Brad. Are you a listener to Trent and Waves?
Trent Waves? I've picked up the
podcast.
Stay woke. Stay woke podcast because my partner's on there.
This is another thing I love about Brad. I'm not gonna lie. On the spot.
I'm not gonna lie.
He had to think about it.
I had to think about it. Stay woke podcast. My partner's on there. He got that going. So hey.
Okay. So what are some of your fears?
Fears.
Ooh, yeah. That's a good question.
Man. Wow, that is a great question. A fear that I have is not living up to my potential.
Mm.
Not being the man that God made me to be.
Yeah.
Like, that would really break my heart, you know, if I were to die, get to wherever I'm supposed to be, hopefully heaven, and God would be like, you missed the mark. You were supposed to have been much better, you know.
I don't know that he would word it that way.
I don't think he would word it that way, but...
He would be elated to see you in the flesh, right?
Right.
And then he would say, oh, by the way, let me see what I had for you.
Right.
That you could have stepped into.
Yeah.
But, like, fear got a hold of you.
Right.
And There it is.
So yeah, right. I think that's my thing. I just, you know,
That's a good thing to
yeah,
to fear.
I think that's why I'm always pushing the envelope. Like I'm always, like you asked Vaughn, I'm always doing something. I'm always working. Like I always have some information for them as a part of the team. They're like, yo, when do you sleep or when do you like relax or whatever? Like I can't.
Yeah.
I can't. I feel like I spent, because 25 was the year that things changed for me. Like my mindset completely shifted and I was like, no, I can do something different. Like I can change things.
Really? 5-6 years ago?
I was 25. Yeah. That's when things really changed for me. And since then, I was like, man, I spent 25 years not living in purpose. I'm not about to spend another day not doing it.
Right.
So every day after that, it was just, you know, trial by fire.
Right.
Just trying and trying and trying, doing things wrong. And like, okay, I didn't lose. I just learned a lesson there.
Sure. All right,
keep going. And I'll just try something else. And the reason why I married my wife is because when I told her I wanted to be a motivational speaker and I wanted that to be my life's work, she's like, absolutely, you can do it. And she was the first woman to ever say that to me.
Wow.
And I'm not talking about my mom. Like, my mom, you know, it's your mom.
You don't consider her a woman in the sense of what you're talking about.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what I mean. That's exactly what I mean.
Vaughn's trying to wrap his head around that image.
Like, no, I got you.
I told you before, my grandma was like, yo, you're a genius. I was like, grandma, I'm in special ed. I'm not a genius. Like, that's not the same. Like,
I'm special ed myself.
But I didn't realize that at the time. Like, I was so young that I didn't realize that we are all geniuses. We all have a gift. And when I realized that my gift was public speaking, the ability to move people emotionally, with my words,
build their belief, impact
them, depth and the power of the tongue, that was my gift. I said, oh, I'm all in. This all gas, no brakes time. And from there on, I was just like, that's it. This is all I'm gonna do. I have to do this. I can't do anything else. I'm a terrible employee.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm highly unemployable myself.
I talked to you about that. I said, I'm a terrible employee.
That's right. You even signed a copy of your book over to me. And you wrote, to Frank, thank you for your love and support. Never work at a job. I love that.
Now, mind you, I don't want anybody to listen to this and get the wrong idea. There are some people out there, you're not built for that. Like, you're not built for a tough. Like, you don't want to deal with that heartbreak.
You should have
pain,
a job. Right?
You need to have a job.
You need that job.
I am one of those people where I can work a job. Yeah. I'm fine. I can work a job.
Yeah.
And still do what I do. But some people can't even do that. They just, after the 9-to-5 or whatever, they're just like, oh, I'm done. I need time to just detox and just relax. And I'm like,
absolutely.
I can't do that.
Look, I'm grateful that people that have jobs, like the gas station. I don't want to get out and pump my own gas. I'm grateful for that guy.
Especially in New Jersey, hey, we still got it.
Well, we love the cold, though, my wife and I.
Really?
It can't get cold enough.
You really don't?
Oh, God. She prays for snow.
Oh.
She was in her glory when it was snowing the other day.
Oh.
She calls me up. Just look out the window.
Oh, my God.
She prays for snow. Prays for snow.
I can actually imagine her saying that.
Darren, you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Darren on the other side.
That's crazy.
He's like, doing some spreadsheet.
Like, my wife, she likes snow, too. I do not like snow.
Oh, man. Because we figured, look, you could always get warmer. You can always throw on another sweater, get another quilt. When it's hot and you're sweating stepping out of the shower, no, there's no need for that. That doesn't do any good for anybody.
You drop down to the birthday suit and you ain't nothing left.
I'm sweating coming out of the shower. I'm like, come on. I can't go anywhere. I'm going to stay in the house and be in the air conditioning all day? Go to the movies? What do I do?
Right.
What do you do in that heat?
Mm-hmm.
Do you like that heat?
You're always
in black.
Yeah, and the funny thing about it is I'm used to it. My coach told me a long time ago, he said, Brad, you better get real comfortable with being uncomfortable. And I just took that and ran with it. I just used it in every way. It was like, I forget.
The weirdest things motivate you.
I know, right? It's, I'll take a...
Like that you hold on to.
Yeah. I'll take something that seems so insignificant to somebody, but I'll take it and use it and turn it into something. And it's weird how my mind is just able to take something and just turn it into a story and principle that way. I was talking to my wife and I was just, you know, taking little things here and there and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's like, I can make this into a story. I can make this into a principle. I can do this. I can do that.
Right.
And that's why people were like, do you know what you're going to say? I'm like, no, I don't. But I'm going to figure it out when I get up there. Boom. And they're like, wow, how long did it take you to write that? I'm like, right? Right? I'm not writing anything, bro. No.
So you're like right off the cuff.
Yeah, everything comes from my heart.
So like if somebody were to hire you to come and talk to their sales team or something,
yep.
What goes into your prep for that?
Which I'm doing on the 30th for a Fortune 500 company.
On when?
On the 30th.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, where's this?
I can't give you the name
yet. So it's not an open invite?
No, it's not an open invite. It's because it's their sales team in Saudi.
Well, that's true. Okay.
But you probably will see a flyer for it.
But Fortune 500?
Yeah.
That's your first one?
Second.
Good for you, man.
That, I did Verizon first. That was one of the
Really?
First. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what goes into your prep? What do you, I mean, you're saying you don't write anything. What do you have to prep it something.
Oh, first thing I want to talk to the higher ups, of course. I want to know, what are the pain points? What are the things that you really have an issue with?
Mm.
And 9 times out of 10, I already know what they probably are. If you're dealing with sales, I've worked in the sales industry. I did very well in the sales industry. I've done almost every form of sales that you could do.
Mm-hmm.
So I know all the ups and downs. I know what they're going through. You got some rookies in there who they're just trying it out, seeing if this is, they're getting their feet wet. I'm like, bro, I've been through the storm already. So I already know what you're going through. So I'm asking, what are the pain points? Like, what is the message that you're trying to relate to them, but you just can't verbalize it?
Right.
You can't get it out your mouth the right way. And I think the reason why you bring speakers in, you bring someone in to relay the message, is the same issue, the same reason that you have a parent who's not able to get through to their child.
Okay.
Or a teacher that can't get through to their students after a while. Reason being, they see you every single day. So they see everything that you're doing right, and they see everything you're doing wrong.
Okay.
So when you have a situation like that, you look human to them.
Yeah.
You see me, I come in, I speak one time. They don't have an opportunity to see my flaws. And I'm a very flawed individual. But in that area of speaking...
Well, you just seem so put together, man.
Oh, please.
You really seem solid.
Please, ask my wife.
Well, I know I can ask your wife.
Right.
Get the truth. I'm just saying, you put on a good front.
I guess, but Vaughn has seen me. Oh, man, Vaughn will tell you about the time I tried to edit one of my own films, and I thought I did a great job.
Though.
I thought I did a great
you
job.
It wasn't bad at all.
It wasn't. All right, it wasn't.
What do you
terrible.
Mean? Whoa. When you say edit, what are you talking about? Like the art of editing itself?
Yeah, I tried to take a video. It wasn't a lot, but I tried to take a video.
What were you using, Premiere?
No, I was just on my phone, that too. So I'm comparing me editing from my phone to Vaughn editing from his computer.
All
right,
dude.
Right, exactly.
Vaughn, you know what I would have told him? I would have said, hey, Brad, stay in your lane. That's
exactly.
What I would have said to him.
He nicely said that.
Did you say, Vaughn?
He just, no, all he did, it was a video of him sitting.
Yeah.
And, like, the frame, just, there was, all of this was here. I was like, next
a lot of headroom,
time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was just like, yo, just close in. Like, you were like, that's all I said.
Yeah.
But I know, like, you knew that already, because you've done videos.
He clearly didn't know that.
I did not know.
He didn't know that.
It was like, I think, what was the first video on the new set, right?
Yeah, it was
that's
the new
why.
Set, yeah.
He had no idea. He had no clue.
Yeah, I was
he's looking at it. He's going to put a big thought bubble up there. He's going to add it.
Looking at it, I'm like, oh, this is dope. Look what I just did.
Yeah, meanwhile,
let me show
Vaughn.
Right, right. And I'm like, ah, bro, yeah, you're right.
And Vaughn's like, okay then, boss. Yeah, no
wait. No, not just this. That, because then, and then Sierra was like, oh, like the caption or whatever, you got to change that or whatever. That's
well,
not
Sierra's always talking about the colors, though.
Well, yeah,
I don't really look at the colors and the stuff like that.
Right, I know.
Yeah. I'm assuming Sierra is a woman.
The man, yes.
Yes.
Oh, of course.
Yes.
Yeah, because she would be like my wife. Like, I'd have a shirt on. I'm thinking I'm looking great.
Right.
And she's like, so you're going out in that shirt? And I'm like, no.
Right.
Just go look at the other three.
Right. She is that for us.
Gotcha. Because well, that's
the
good
last
to have.
Time I'm like, this is, wait, you didn't see it. I sent an invoice. And she was like, don't you send that invoice. Send it to me first. I was like, all right, cool. It's just an invoice. So I sent her the invoice. She took the invoice and then sent it back to me and did a side-by-side comparison.
Yeah.
She was like, this is yours. This is ours. This is the brand's invoice. Don't you ever send that invoice.
Yeah, this is
like,
yours. This is the right one.
Right. Right. So she put the logo on there. She had the color scheme and the screens and all this. I was like,
you didn't have your logo. You didn't even have your logo on there? That's shocking.
Bro, I was like, let's just get it done.
How long ago was this? Since we've known each other?
Like a month ago. Like a month ago.
Dude, I'm shocked.
Yeah.
I'm seeing a whole other Brad here.
Because I tell you, I'm very average outside of me being on stage and speaking.
I don't know if Vaughn can handle me talking to you like this.
Because
he probably doesn't talk to you like this. Am I right?
No.
He probably...
I mean, I've known him long enough.
Yeah, like Vaughn can tell me anything.
Yeah, I want to ask you one thing before I go into what I actually want to ask you. You mentioned, well, Frank said, how do you prep? Has there ever been a time you went on stage and you were just like you weren't prepared mentally for a gig?
Yes.
I could even
yes.
answer
that. Yeah. And I'll tell you exactly which speaking engagement that
was. What
was it? I was in North New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
I was getting ready to speak for an event called Something Dreams. And I'm putting my mic up, getting ready to get up there to speak in front of the people.
How long ago was this?
This was probably about 2 years ago. Okay. Hmm. Getting ready to get on stage and speak. Next thing I know, I hear bow, 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 bow. People come running in the room. Somebody got shot, got murdered right outside, a couple feet away from us.
Really?
Yep. I looked outside the door. Whole strip was taped off, yelled off. They had the ambulance out there. Somebody got murdered a couple feet away from me and my wife.
Holy smokes.
As you walk on stage?
As I'm getting ready to speak.
As you're getting ready to
speak. He's talking. Yeah, before he's talking.
Yeah, before the Ayo, what up, though.
Ayo, what up?
Ayo.
I guess we know what's up, though.
So, yeah, right. So I'm thinking, and at the time I had a decision to make, because I was thinking to myself, okay, pack up and get up out of here, because you got your wife with you. Like, you don't need this. You can go someplace else. You're like, It's not worth it. And then I was like, Brad, but this is what you signed up for.
So what'd you talk about?
I got up there and I just talked about
how. You still did the gig after?
I still did it.
Do you remember what you talked about?
Yeah.
What was it?
Originally, I was going to talk about dreams. And then it shifted to, listen, I understand that someone just got murdered. You got to understand, your opportunities can like slip away from you. They'll be gone that fast. That man didn't know he was going to die. Now, he probably did some dirt and might have caused him to that situation.
Or maybe it was an innocent kind
of
thing.
Or it was an instant bystander. Maybe. And that's even worse.
Yeah.
Because it's like, man, I had no idea that I was going to, you know?
Yeah.
Everybody that died didn't know they were going to die for the most part. It's like, so when you have these opportunities, I tell people within a year, you got 365 opportunities to do whatever it is you want to do with your life. And if you decide you want to make a difference, you want to change, you want to do something else, you got time to do it. It's your life, not theirs. And whatever dream it is that you have in your mind, if people don't understand it, they don't get it, it's okay. They're not supposed to. They weren't given that dream. You were.
Right.
Less than half the time, are you not prepared?
No. I'm always prepared. So I always have a topic.
Yeah. So it comes off the whim. A lot of people feel like they have to not even like outside of your profession. I feel like they have to prepare like notes. They have to prepare like a step by step type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Before you got to that point, and before you really started getting into it deep, you said you turned down two opportunities. Did you ever like at one point have regrets because about turning it, do you think you could have went on to do the football, or were you just straight like, yo, this is what I'm gonna do, I'm getting better at it? I'm like,
no, I was always on borrowed time with football.
What's
football
that?
I was always on borrowed time. That just meant I knew eventually
it
was
borrowed
gonna end.
Time.
Yeah, borrowed time. I eventually knew it was gonna end. So like in my book I talk about my brother Sam. The only reason I played football in the first place was because of my brother. He was the one who said, hey, you know, come on, you fast, you quick, let's go play football. And I was like, all right, cool. But he almost lost his life playing football. It was just a one in a million accident. Somebody landed on his leg. We were outside playing football in the snow on a day that we were off from school. Somebody fell on his leg, caused a blood clot, almost went up to his heart, and he almost died.
Whoa.
So I almost lost my best friend. Didn't even know. Like, we were just playing football, bro.
Sure.
Like, we 16, playing football.
Right.
That's what you do on a snow day.
Yeah.
Right? Well, at least what we used to do. I don't know what they do now. But, you know, Fortnite, whatever. And like, dang, bro. And then Fortnite. After that, I watched him go through the recovery process of trying to, you know, get strong again and get to the point where they would allow him to play football again.
Right.
And he was able to play his senior year, but that was it. After that, he could not play again.
Wow.
And I was like, man, if it was my brother, he would go as far as he possibly could, because he was the one who had the build for it. He was the one who was set up to go as far as he wanted to go. He was 6'3", 200 pounds in high school.
Right.
Ran. He was oh my God. When I talk about fast, like them long leg strides, like Eric Dickerson type.
Wow. That is quick.
God. I'm like, he was built to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Not me. I'm 5'8". And when I was in high school, I was 130 pounds.
Yeah, but you look like you can move.
Yeah, I was shifty and I was always faster than a lot of people. But it was like, man, no, everybody always looked over me. Every football team I've ever been on, I always started at the bottom of the depth chart.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time it was the first game of the season, I'm at the top as a starter. As a starting corner or the starting slot, nickel, whatever. I always work my way up.
What kind of books do you read?
Books? I do a lot of audiobooks. So the one I'm reading right now is the Essentialist. I think it's the Essentialist.
The Essentialist.
I think that's it. I might be. Hold on.
Who wrote that? Or should I say, who speaks that?
Who speaks that?
Well, it's an audiobook.
Yeah.
The book on tape. Well, it's not on tape. Another 80s reference.
Essentialism.
Essentialism.
Okay.
What's it about?
It's about making making the right decisions.
Oh, and, so, and it's, not okay, so it's not like a book where you're sitting, you're reading a story.
Right.
Okay, so
now,
I've gone
through a couple different ones, like Outwitting the Devil. That's a really good book.
Mm-hmm.
People who haven't read it, it's Outwitting the Devil, if you didn't know, it's basically the sequel to, I believe, Think and Grow Rich.
Napoleon Hill. Great book.
That's the book that he wanted to write. He wanted to put that out, and they pretty much banned him for
I
years.
Heard Napoleon Hill was an atheist.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
But, hey, but he wrote a good book.
Hey, whatever.
And the funny thing about it is, in the book, Outwitting the Devil, within, like, the pretext, it says, like, if you have any doubts about this book or the title of, you know, whatever the case, if anything, by the time you're done reading this book, it will actually strengthen your relationship with God.
Oh, amen.
Wow. That's so cool. I was like, wow, read through that. It was a great book. A number of other ones, I'm trying to think.
He would like Lincoln on Leadership. You ever read that?
Lincoln on Leadership. Didn't read that one.
Very, very cool. Also, Skills with People, okay. Les Giblin. How I Raised Myself from Failure to Success Through Selling by Frank Betker.
Okay.
It's another great one. And, of course, you know, How to Win Friends and Influence People, Dale Carnegie. How to Be Rich, J. Paul Getty. Mm-hmm. You know, Getty Gas Stations,
yeah.
So when J. Paul Getty died, he was probably the richest man in the world at the time that he died. So he wrote a book called How to Be Rich.
Okay.
Yeah, great book. J. Paul Getty. Fantastic book. And listen, people can say what they want about Donald Trump. I'll tell you this much. That book, The Art of the Deal,
mm-hmm.
whoa. Mm. That's a great book to read for any entrepreneur, any business owner. Read that book. It's just read Trump? The book. He wrote it. It's called The Art of the Deal. Look, people can have any kind of opinion they want on anybody. How do you know Napoleon Hill was such a nice guy? Who knows?
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying.
My thing is, you can take something from everybody.
Absolutely.
There's something positive that you can take from anybody. I don't really care who it is.
Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Did you read that one?
Oh, yeah.
Great book. Who Stole My Cheese?
Yep, Who Stole My Cheese.
Great book, Who Stole My Cheese. It's such a great book. I'm not a big reader.
Yeah, I do a lot of audiobooks.
But, I mean, I don't even do the audiobook. I should try that.
Yeah, it's easy. Easy. You sit in the car, driving.
It's like a podcast.
Yeah.
That's why I like podcasts so much. You know what? No reading.
Yeah. Amen. And you know what's crazy? Because I'm a special ed student, I had a fear of reading out loud. I had a huge fear of reading out loud. That was just one of those things where I'm trying to tell you, that mental warfare that you go through, the standard student, the average student in school, they don't realize how good of a position they're in.
Mm.
When you're in special ed classes, the standard student is trying and fighting to get to success.
Yeah.
Like, they're trying to get to prosperity.
Right.
A student in special ed classes, they just wanted to be looked at as normal. They're just trying to get to the standard. That's all I was trying to do. And because I got so used to working so hard, I didn't realize that I was bypassing standard and moving into success or prosperity, into a high. I didn't know. I just had my head down.
Absolutely.
I was just grinding and working and working and working. And then people started saying, wow, you're really good and this and that. And then they started offering me money to speak. And I was like, whoa.
There you go. See, now someone else is putting value on it.
Right.
Other than yourself or the people that you would expect to put value on it.
Right.
You know, your family, your friends, right? A stranger puts value on it saying, hey, I'd like to pay you for your time and your expertise in this particular thing.
Right.
Now they're putting value on it. It's a whole different ballgame.
Absolutely. You can't even look at it the same anymore.
That's right. Well, now you can say, I'm a professional speaker.
And it's crazy. The very first time that I ever got paid, it was a gentleman who taught communication at Mercer County Community College. Mm-hmm. I was up there to go visit the teacher who taught my public speaking class when I was at Mercer County College.
Right.
And I didn't find her because she wasn't in the classroom. So I went in the room and he happened to be there and he was finishing up a class.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just talking to him, said, hey, yeah, I'm looking for her because, you know, I'm a speaker now. He said, wait a minute. Oh, he's like, just from this conversation we have, I can tell you're talented. You're a gifted speaker.
Yeah.
He's like, come with me. So I came with him to his office. We sat down. We talked a little longer. He said, listen, I'm doing a speaking engagement this Saturday.
Right.
Be back here at this time. I'm going to put you in for a slot so you can speak. And I was like, okay, cool. No problem. So I come back, I find out when I get there that he took his name off of the program and just put his name as the host and put me as the keynote speaker.
Oh my
there was
God.
Nothing that the school could do. The event started. He probably could have got fired for it.
I love that.
He was like, I see something in you and I get up there and speak. I got to see it. So I went up there and I spoke. He said, you did a phenomenal job. We went back to the office, sat down and talked. He gave me a crumpled up $50 bill. And I ran home like it was the golden ticket, like in,
sure.
in you know,
Willy Wonka, man.
Willy, you're right. Yeah, that's right. The first thing that came to my mind. Sure. I'm running down the, you know, running down the street with the gold ticket. And I showed it to my wife, and I was like, "Yo, I finally got paid. Somebody gave me $50." My wife lost her mind because she was like, because with her, she's from the South, and she didn't know that motivational speakers like that was like a full time thing. You could just you know, have a lifestyle doing that. She thought it was like a part time thing.
Sure.
And she was like, "Wow!" So I introduced her to Eric Thomas and Jim Rome and Tony Robbins and Les Brown and all the other speakers.
Yeah,
and it just blew her mind. Like, "Wow, people really get paid for this." She's like, "And you just got paid?" It's not a lot, but she was like, "I don't care."
She's
like,
"You got paid.
It's the start.
It doesn't matter the amount. Right. People get caught up with that. That's great. Right. How long did you speak for?"
Maybe like 5 minutes, something still, like that. It was like
that could be an eternity for the wrong person,
right? And for me, I was like, "Wow, like this, yeah, this shows audience. That I can do." I'm like, "Now I know I'm at least worth $50."
Yeah,
and well, yeah, there you go. Right.
And it could be worse. Like, could be 25.
Exactly. And I'm like,
"50
wow.
bucks is 50 bucks, man.
Right? It was $50 that, you know, more, and I was doing what I loved.
Sure.
So I would have did it for free if you asked me to.
Absolutely.
I thought I was doing it for free. That's another thing. I give, and then I ask. You ask me to come in and speak and do some work for you, yo, I'm showing up early and I'm trying to leave late because I want to give as much as I possibly can. And I want you to feel like, yo, we got way more than what we bargained for when we paid Brad.
That's it, man. Another Brad Butler characteristic that I love. I tell him, be here at 10 o'clock. He gets here a quarter to 10. That's, I love, because early is on time. On time is late.
And late is unacceptable.
Thank you. Yeah. Late, I do not tolerate late. I can't do it. I physically can't do it.
Yeah, no.
It drives me insane being late, and it drives me even more crazy when someone else is late.
Right, right.
It's like, and then they come in like, huh.
Right.
I understand if something happens. Like, look, I get it. I understand that. But I'm saying for the most part, when people, like, my wife and I drive her nuts with this. There's a party at 8 o'clock, right? I'm going to stand outside on the porch, 7:58. I'm ringing the bell at 8 o'clock. She's like, "Frank, we don't have to really like be here at 8 o'clock.
Right.
I'm like, "Why did they say 8 o'clock then? Why did they call a party for 8 o'clock?
I had to learn that.
She goes, "Because they're giving you an idea. 8 o'clock, you know, any time after 8 is good. Like, you know, 20 after, that's fine. Quarter after even is okay, you know." So that's the one thing I'm still trying to let up on with stuff. But when it comes to business.
Oh, yeah, business.
Oh, dude. Oh, no. Yeah. No, no. I mean, I used to take karate classes back in the early 90s.
Right.
Class starts at 8 o'clock. I would get there sometimes, like, because I hit traffic, like 8:30. I wouldn't even go in. I'd go home. Mm-hmm. I would just go home. I don't even bother. I'd rather just not even show up than be late. I think that's worse.
Right, right. At least a common courtesy is to just call or text and say, "Hey, listen, I'm going to be late.
Mm.
Would you like me to still come?" Like, it's you know, perfect. That type of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of just showing up and thinking it's okay, it's not okay. You're wasting people's time, like, and they can't get that valuable time yet, especially when it comes to business. They have set that time aside for you purposely.
Right, right.
You know, and if you ever miss something, man, you better, you know, "Hey, listen, I'm so sorry, I forgot." You gotta let them know that it meant something to you. Like, you're not just blowing it off. I remember it actually happened to me once. I set up a meeting, just a small meeting. We're just sitting down talking, like getting lunch, that type of thing. And I forgot. And it wasn't even anything that was like money was involved.
Oh, okay.
Or anything like that. Nothing like that. It was just a meeting and we were kind of talking. It was a young lady who had like a podcast.
Okay.
And we were just talking about how we could possibly work together, that type of thing. No money exchange, nothing along those lines at all. But I forgot.
Mm.
Because I wasn't put back then, I wasn't putting everything in my phone like I should have been.
Right.
And I forgot. And she sent me a message saying, "Hey, I'm at the coffee shop, da da da." You know, I'm like, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
Oh.
I can't believe I forgot." And she was like, "Oh," she's like, "Yeah, you know."
But you told her you forgot.
Yeah, I told her. I'll admit.
Oh my God.
When I'm wrong, I don't want to do the whole dancing around it. It's just, I'm wrong.
Right.
I'm wrong. Let's get past it.
Let's get past it.
I'd rather just ask for your forgiveness than to dance around it. And then you're like, and then you start asking the probing questions. And then they're going to figure you out.
Wait, what did I say?
And they're going to figure you out. So that's why I'm just like, no.
You want to hear a funny story?
Go ahead.
Yeah, sure.
There was, I was supposed to have a meeting with somebody at 5 o'clock.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
At 5 o'clock.
I love this.
I didn't know. When we set the meeting, I could have swore we said 5 o'clock.
It wasn't me.
No,
right. But I remember this.
And I show up at I put in my calendar, I guess, at 6 o'clock. So I show up at 6 o'clock, and the guy I'm talking to, the guy I'm supposed to be meeting with, is standing outside Starbucks with some other people. I'm like, "What's up, man?" He was like, "Yeah, you an hour late." I was like, "What?" He was like, "We agreed on 6 o'clock. Are we agreed on 5 o'clock?" I was like, "No, I could have swore we did 6. That was Will Foskey, and inevitably, me being late is how I ended up meeting Frank Sasso.
Yeah, because I'm saying to Will, I'm saying, who is this cat?
Yeah. I'm like, you sitting in Starbucks for him long?
Yes, for an hour.
Yeah. Oh, I know Frank lost his mind.
I wasn't meeting Frank, though. I was just I was meeting Will.
No, he happened to right. I was with Will.
Right, but I know you lost your mind anyway.
Oh, and I wasn't even my meeting, and I was losing my mind.
Yeah.
And Will was there. Will's as cool as ever. Will's as cool as ever.
I had no, like, I was just like, what? Like, he said, like, no, we set 5. And I was like, no, it's in my calendar. Then I went back and read the message, and I was like, oh, goodness gracious. But,
lo
and behold, me and Will are fine. That's how I met Frank. Yeah, thank God.
The next time next time I met Vaughn after that, I went to Rita's Ice.
Did you really?
Okay.
Yeah, and I had to get a Rita's Ice, and Vaughn is serving me the ice.
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh, here's that kid Vaughn again, that late kid. That's how I knew him, as that late kid. And he says to me, "You didn't forget about me, right?" This is what he says this to me as he's giving me a lemon ice, because I only get lemon. There's no other flavor to get. Lemon.
It's fire, man.
I'm like, oh, look at this guy. I didn't forget about you. I kind of did forget about him because he was late. So as far as I'm concerned, well, I don't need to remember you right now.
Mm-hmm.
But he pressed on. That's a good thing about you, Levi. You're very, very, you know how to pursue.
Yes.
And you don't stop. Like, you don't, like, he wears people down, I think.
Yeah.
In a good way.
Sometimes you got to.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
That's how you're going to make it. That's exactly how you're going to make it.
I think I'm bad with that because I don't have the patience. Like, my thing is, you can ask just about anybody. I might ask. I'll probably ask one time, one good time, hey, I want to be there.
Yeah.
Let me come. Give me an opportunity to speak and talk to these kids and help them and this and that. And then they'll do the Hollywood talk. Oh, yeah, well, you know. Nah, that was your opportunity.
Yeah.
So I tell Vaughn and I tell Sierra all the time, I said, we're not chasing nobody.
Is that why you don't call me anymore?
Oh, my goodness. If you don't get out of my... you don't get out of here.
That's another one of the things I like about you. That was the first gem you ever gave me. Do you remember what you said when we sat in the car and had the talk?
I say a lot of stuff.
If you're persistent...
He's not going to remember.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that one I remember. Yeah.
You'll get it. But if you're consistent, you'll keep it. Yeah. I've held that with me ever since you said that to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one I remember. I remember saying
the
that.
Only bad thing about being consistent is when you're consistently inconsistent.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, say it again?
The only bad thing about being consistent is when you're consistently inconsistent.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, my guy just got the opportunity to work with Tyler Perry because he was consistent.
Hey,
there you go, TP.
There it is.
Let me ask you the age-old question on this program.
Age-old.
I know you're not from Trent.
Oh, wait, you're going to ask it?
I'm Christina.
Look how he just jumps in. Look how he just jumps in.
You just said.
Holy smokes.
I got you, man. Look,
he's a jacking my own show, this guy.
Take a
you know, Will Foskey said, I put my weapons on the table. People know who's in charge when they sit down with me and Christina. And this cat just swoops in. With his hair.
You think he's...
I'm cutting my hair tomorrow. I'm cutting my hair tomorrow.
Dude, I wish I had hair like that.
Why
are you cutting it?
Because it's doing too much, man.
Go ahead. Like, do your question.
I love your question. All
right, Christina, go ahead.
Yeah. So you're not from Trenton, so I'm excited to hear your answer for this. Yeah. What is your dream Trenton?
My dream Trenton? I think a dream Trenton would just be a city that resembles the actual name of the capital. The
capital,
bro. Trenton is the capital of New Jersey. There should be so much that's going on here. This should be the Mecca. You should be coming here and knowing that you're gonna leave with more than what you came in with. You should be trying to set up shop here. Trenton, New Jersey should be New Jersey's version of Atlanta. Like, that's what it's supposed to be right now. And the problem is you have so many people that are out for self and are only worried about themselves and how far they can get along in life that they forget about everybody else and they don't want to hold hands with someone else and partner up and work with each other and bring all your resources together to make it a bigger and better place for the whole. You want to be a part of Trenton, but you don't want to be a part of Trenton. Like, you want the money that it generates because it generates money. You want the money that's generated in Trenton, but you don't want to be associated with it. And that's the thing that pisses me off because I'm not from Trenton, but I'm there. I'm in the heart of it. That's my thing. It would be for it to really be what it's supposed to be looked at as the capital of New Jersey. It should resemble it in a visual aspect.
48 answers, I think that's my favorite.
Man.
Passionate.
Really?
Pain, passion, and
when you ask him a question like that, I mean, what'd you expect him to do? you know, he's a motivational speaker.
Empowering.
Influencer. And the funny thing about it is, like, I get people that say that all the time, like, man, you're so passionate, stuff like that when you talk. And it's like, I don't mean to do it. That's why I know it's genuine.
Well, it's in you, man.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, compassion just usually comes from, it comes from pain.
Right.
You know,
right.
Pain, passion, purpose, right?
Right.
In any event, would you like to stick around for a little something we call plugs?
Sure.
Trenton Waves Plugs.
Hey, Podcastia, let's see what this guest has to plug.
If you want to check out some more stuff about Trenton Waves, you can go to TrentonWaves.com, click on Around Town. That'll show you what's going on around this fair town of ours called Trenton, New Jersey. You can also drop us an email. You may want to make sure that you vote for your favorite episode to include in the top 15 countdown for episode 50. There's Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. There's all kinds of things on the website you can check out. Brad, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Where can people find you? Where can people see you? Where can people hear you? Where can people experience all things Brad B. Red Butler online?
Well, the easiest thing to do is just type in Brad Butler II, 2 Roman numeral, which is 2 capital I's. And that will take you pretty much to everything. But if you want to get in contact with me for me to come out and do a speaking engagement for you, you can send me an email at contact@b-radinspires.com. The Instagram handle is b_radinspires. Facebook, Brad Butler II or b-radinspires. YouTube is b-radinspires. But literally, like I said, you can go right to Google and type in Brad Butler II, and it will take you to everything that I have going on. And if you want the book Pain, Passion, Purpose, just go on to amazon.com and you can grab yourself a copy of Pain, Passion, Purpose. You know, we got the corporate event that we're doing at the end of this month on the 30th. Can't tell you what that is just yet. We're going to drop a flyer for that. Next month on February, we got my segment on the culture, Vaunt. I'm on the radio station with you, the morning commute at Willie P. Sorry, William Patterson. And then I'll be at Trenton Central High School. I'm coming in to talk about entrepreneurship.
When is this?
That is on the 19th, February 19th.
What you got, Vaughn?
Yeah. Just keep listening to the Stable Podcast, man, on all streaming platforms.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of great stuff.
Who's on next?
Next week is Will Foskey.
You're kidding me.
Sunday is Will Foskey.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Yeah, oh, yeah, man. I remember that.
Dude, if you are going to listen to that show, Brad, you want to buckle up.
Yeah, I know.
And just have your drinks, have your food, have everything within reach.
Uh-huh.
You don't want to miss this. I can already tell you it's going to be a great show. I haven't even heard it. That is going to be good. Anytime Will starts talking.
Oh, boy. Dropping a lot of gems.
Man. Oh, my goodness gracious. That guy is just...
I'm worried, bud.
Talk about motivational speaking. I think he motivates you without even trying.
So like, does he, though. That's the thing.
Yeah, I'm just saying, but Will does, like, he is a motivational speaker. You know you're going to get that from him.
Yeah.
The way Will does it is he kind of does it, like, on the sly.
Yeah.
You know, like, he starts saying stuff, and you start thinking, like, you never think of it right there. You think of it, like, hours later it hits you.
And then he's the one that's like, oh, it's not advice. I'm just talking.
Yeah, to I'm, you. Yeah, I'm just
trying to be humble.
Yo, you know, I'm just moving forward, yo.
Just having a conversation.
I'm moving on.
But go listen to
Stable. That's dope.
Follow at Stable Pod on Facebook and Instagram. Will does say that a lot. That's dope, man.
Yo, that's dope, you know.
Will Foskey. But yeah, man. Shout out, Will.
Good stuff. All right, well, this has been yet another episode of Trenton Waves with Brad Butler, Vaunt Leak stopping in. This was very fun. Thank you guys for coming by.
Thanks for having us, man.
Of course.
Are you going to announce who the special guest host is for 50 or
no?
No. Okay.
No, there's a special guest host for episode 50. We're not going to announce who it is until you listen.
Okay.
We like being annoying like that. That's just the way it is.
Stay woke.
Anyway.
Stay woke.
This has been another episode of Trenton Waves.
Sasso out.
You've been listening to the Trenton Waves podcast. Visit us online at TrentonWaves.com.
Hey, Podcastia, yeah, it's Frank Sasso coming at you. Listen, Trenton Waves' 50th episode is coming up. So here's what we need you to do. We need you to go and vote for your favorite episode. We'll count up the votes, rank them, and then on February 3rd of 2020, we're going to have a special guest host sitting with Christina and I, and we're going to present a special top 15 countdown of your favorite episodes, leading down to the number one favorite episode as per you, the listener. The deadline is January 28th of 2020. Go to TrentonWaves.com/top15 to cast your vote. Sasso out.